The objective of my sermon is to teach you to make the most out of every teaching that you have in the script, in the Bible. So the title of my meditation tonight is Subduing Your Thoughts. Say what? Subduing your thoughts. You are taking over your thoughts. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
What are you talking about? Now, I would not embarrass you today. But I am bold enough to say that each one of us, did you hear I say of us? At some point in life, came, sat down in church. Our body were here, but our minds were in the Baltimore Arena. Or the Orioles Stadium, huh? Camden Yards. Or maybe at the Raven Stadium. Or maybe at the Redskin Stadium. Lord have mercy. Is that right? Many times our thoughts will wander away. Now, people are surprised to learn that if we do not watch, the devil has actually the ability to impress on Jesus' followers his thoughts and cause us to think that they are our thoughts. And how do you know? That is the devil and it's not your thoughts. It will be too clever, number one. So you're calling us dumb? Absolutely not. But I will tell you that you're not a match for the devil either. But this is not the catch. The catch is it will be so clever and so deceitful that it will be opposed to the way that God thinks. And yet, you can't perceive. Let me say it again. The devil on his trickery, because he's a low life, a good-for-nothing, useless punk, he is able to infiltrate the minds of even Jesus' followers when they are not in. Their bodies alone are in, but their minds are somewhere else. I don't believe it. That's all right. I'm glad you say that. Here's some examples of what I'm telling you right now. Number one. Satan can place a thought in your mind through trickeries. And he will cause you to think that it is your idea. Why? If you knew that it was Satan's idea, automatically you would reject that thought. Is that right? When he disguises his suggestions as your thoughts and ideas, however, you are more likely to accept them. And this is what we call primary deception. Here's the example. Brother, can you give me John 13:2? Here is a typical example of Satan disguising a thought and actually fooling somebody into doing his will. At supper, and supper being ended, what happened?
The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him.
Who put it in Judas' heart?
The devil.
Oh. How could that be? I mean, Judas was walking with Jesus for 3 years. Isn't that right? He's sitting down at the table with Jesus. He's eating with Jesus. He listened to every single sermon that Jesus preached. And yet the devil was able to put in his heart to betray Jesus. How could that happen? You're scaring the life out of me. How many of you knew that Judas was a thief? Y'all know that? The Bible says that Judas was stealing from the collection that came to Jesus. Well, I don't steal for no collection. If you took a box of pencil from your boss's office, you're no better than Judas. How would that open a place for the devil? He is a thief. Say amen.
Amen.
Isn't that what Jesus said? So if you are stealing, you are opening a door for the devil to come in. And once he comes in, he will be able to manipulate your thoughts. Oh, I don't steal at all. Praise God. But when you fail to come home at 6 o'clock after your shift because you were in the mall with your girlfriends, and your husband asks, where were you? I was working until now. What did you just do? And who is the father of lie? Are you with me here? Preacher, that's ridiculous. Everybody lie. That's why everybody can be tricked by the devil. If Judas knew that it was Satan's idea for him to betray Jesus, guess what? I don't think he would have done that. Maybe he would, but I don't think he would. Would you willingly do something that you knew that the devil told you to do? Absolutely not. And this is where the thought processing thing has to be done in the right way. This is why I said we must learn to subdue our thoughts. Is it possible? Absolutely. Give me the New Living Translation here, but I didn't check. I was so fascinated with the thought that I didn't go any other. Let me check here. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. The devil prompted him. Now, what does the Message Bible says? It was supper time. The devil, by now, had Judas. Are you with me here?
Yes.
Well, preacher, you know, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, I think that this is an isolated case. Really, you think that? Let's go to Acts 5:3. If you think that this is an isolated case, let me give you another example. Ananias and Sapphira decide to sell their property and bring it to the feet of the apostle. Y'all remember the story, right? They got $100,000 for the property. So the two of them came together and said, you know what? Let's take $50,000, put on Bank of America. You know, in case this church stuff don't go, we got a little money set aside for us to buy another house downtown. You with me, right? But when we get to the pastor, we say, "We this is what we got for the property." Right. All right. So far, I said, I got to use the restroom. You go and I'll meet you over there. So Ananias went. When he come, Pastor Peter, here's the money I've got for my property. This is what Peter said. Ananias. Why has Now you think I am rough. What about that? Huh? You think I'm rough? I have never prayed for one of you to die. You think that I'm rough? Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie? Huh? To the Holy Spirit and keep part of the price of the land for yourself. Next verse you say, if you had to keep all, it's all yours. But don't come here, pretend to be the good boy, and then you keep half of the money. I guarantee you, if Ananias and Sapphira knew that was the devil placing their thought, that thing in their thought, in their minds, if they knew that was the devil placing that thought in their heads, they would never have done that. And the worst of us, the worst of all is, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Ouch. And the worst thing is, the wife, after she got off of the restroom, didn't get a clue. Because when she comes by, hi, Pastor. How are you doing? He said, I'm doing great. Sapphira, by the way, did you guys sell that thing for $50,000? Oh, yes, sir. And my husband brought all the money for you. You liar. See these boys, they just bury your husband. And you're next. Why has you agreed to let the devil put that kind of thought in your head, in your heart? So we got to wrestle with our thoughts. Is that right? Beloved, here's the deal. When we allow our minds to wander away, it becomes a stronghold. This is why I do not believe and I will never take part on any yoga class. Say amen. Amen. Well, that's you. I will do it. I don't know much about yoga and I don't want to know about it, but one time somebody came and tried to persuade us. And this supposedly are Christian people. Church leaders. Some churches out there are so strong on yoga that is the main attraction on the menu. It's no longer Jesus. And the thing is, what in the world? What is the big deal about yoga? Well, you sit down and you're gonna search deep within yourself. And let your mind get away from you. You empty yourself completely. Are you out of your mind? If I let my thoughts get out of me, the devil will come in. And then when my mind tries to come back, he's going to kick my mind back. And then I've got demons on me all over the place. You're nuts! When the people allow themselves, huh? And when they allow their mind to wander away while the word of God has been preached, demons will penetrate. Judas was present in 1,000. Y'all listen to me, right? And 80 days services preached by Jesus. And yet that man allowed the devil to get over into his heart. Do we have to remain a victim of these mental strongholds? Absolutely not. Well, preacher, what if I have been trained wrong? Can I be retrained? Absolutely. If we have been trained and if we have learned to believe in a lie, we can now choose to believe in the truth. Say amen.
Amen.
You see, the new thing, the new kid on the block today is homosexuality. And that is a stronghold. Why? In God's eyes, there is no such a thing as a homosexual. He created us male and female. Is that right?
Amen.
However, homosexual thoughts, homosexual behaviors, homosexual feelings can usually be traced to past negative experience or experiences or tempting thoughts. And when these tempting thoughts take over our mind, such experiences will arise, the sexual feeling, fantasies, and disorientations, causing some people to believe a lie about their sexual identity. I had a fellow who I hope is not homosexual, but he leads a church. And in one of our podcasts, I said, in the beginning, God didn't create Adam and Steve. It was Adam and Eve. And thank God, it was Adam and Eve, because if it was Adam and Steve, none of us would be here today. And this is why I'm against homosexual adopting children. Do you want to have children? Go get somebody from the opposite sex. I don't want it. Then you don't have a right to have a child under your custody. Plain and simple. Now, this fellow came to me and said, you see, you are a radical. I said, yes, I am. Because the things of God are a craziness for the thing in the world. So you will never accept it because you have a world mind. Well, the Bible say that there are some that were made eunuchs by men. Some made themselves eunuch because of the kingdom of God. And some were born eunuchs. I said, yes, but not homosexual. What do you mean? If you were born without the desire to have a woman's relation, that means God is calling you to have a relationship with Him, not with another man. But because people's minds are empty, because their thoughts have been wandered away, the devil is able to plant in their minds evil thoughts. And now the last idiocy, or the last idiotic statement is, if you don't agree with homosexual, you're racist. Somebody tell me, you're an idiot. Race has to do with color, not with sexual preference. So you are an idiot, and mostly like a Democrat. Listen, the devil has the ability to trick people into thinking that some brilliant idea that everybody accepts is ours, when it is truly His. You keep saying that, but you still have not given us a scripture to back up what you're saying. I will give it to you right now. I'm glad you asked. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. You know, because some of these strongholds are thoughts raised against the knowledge of God, your best weapon is to learn to know your God as a loving Father. Is to learn to accept yourself as a child of God. That's the kick-starting point. I had people that used to come here that says that they would not come to Ron Canole's concert because he's black. These people have been deceived by Satan. Why? At the end of the day, black, white, yellow, blue, purple go under 6 feet. And when death comes to pick it up, if you're white, you're going to go. You're going to go down. If you're black, you're going to go down. Are you with me here? The Bible says, casting down what?
Arguments.
People are arguing with us today that homosexualism is okay. No, it is not. People is arguing with us today that, well, if your husband is a little big belly, snoring like a bear, get rid of him. It's okay. No, it is not. And my wife is twice bigger than when she was when we married. Of course. She buried you maybe half a dozen kids. Is it okay to get rid of food? No, it is not. Well, I know a lot of preachers that is divorced. They've been deceived. Casting down arguments. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, the King James put this better than any other version. Watch this. Casting down imagination. Now, where is the imagination? In your foot? Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So, every time that this spirit manifests itself, we, as godly people, have to bring every imagination down under control. And this is where the television becomes your greatest enemy. A beloved saint from our church said, would you please stop talking about TV? I said, I don't talk about TV. Here and there you talk about TV. You see, I have my TV. I watch TV. I watch Jim Swaggart. And? I watch Kenneth Copeland. And? I watch Sid Roth. And? What do you mean, and? Are these the only three programs that you watch, sis? Well, mostly. Ah. And let me guess. You watch also the Discovery Channel? Yes. And you watch PBS? Yes. All right. Do you watch sci-fi? Yes. No. Yeah, I mean, you know, here and there I watch. All right. But I watch TBN. It's okay. Do you watch TBS? TNT? Yes. So you're telling me that you already watched Glee? When we are so hooked up on that stuff, our minds will start working. Our thoughts will be changed by what we are seeing. And then imagination is start working. What are you talking about? Well, 40 years ago, we used to believe that a man's supposed to marry a woman, right? But the demon-possessed in Hollywood, it starts saying the opposite. Now we have even church anointing homosexual leaders? Did the Bible tell them that? Absolutely not. They are watching Glee, whatever garbage the thing is called, and many other things. And because they are watching this thing so constantly, their thoughts are bombarded with that garbage. And at that one point, they start to think, well, it's okay. I don't see nothing wrong with it. Are you with me here? He say, cast down every imagination. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And where does it start? In your mind. That's why he says, and bringing into captivity, what? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. So if God says in his word that it's not okay for a man to kiss another man and marry another man, it's disgusting just to think about it. Then guess what? Every imagination about gay life is supposed to come down. Amen. And any time that the thought passes through somebody's head, it says in here, that thought has to be brought into captivity. Amen. So what is brought into captivity? You have to subdue the thought. You have to overpower the thought. Is that all? No. If every time you look at that precious woman that God gave you, oh man, I wish she would be 100 pounds lighter. She made me think, I wish she would snore like a bear. And when that thought comes through the mind, maybe I should divorce and look for somebody else. That thought has to come under captivity. It has to be subdued. It has to be subdued to the obedience of Christ. Well, you know, my boss, I work like a horse here. He's paying me $10 an hour. So I'm going to take a ream of paper home. You're not going to feel. And you won't know. You're not paying me like he's supposed to pay. That thought has to go under submission. Because once you do that, you're stealing. You just open the door for the devil to come and jump into your thoughts. And that's when you're going to have arguments. That's when you have imagination. And that's when all kind of garbage will load in. Learning to know God as your loving Savior, as your loving Father, and learning to accept yourself as a child of God is the kicking start point, or kickstarting point, rather. Did you know that more is going on in your mind than prior negative condition? You are not just up against the world system in which you were raised. You're not only up against the world, you're not only up against your flesh and its patterns that you have chosen to adopt. What are you talking about? I mean, when you choose to watch a TV program for an hour, or hour and a half, or 2 hours every day, and you don't give God the same amount of time with your Bible, you have chosen a flesh pattern. The TV didn't come on, turn me on. Isn't that right? It will not go on by itself. You've got to get that remote and flip. That's a flesh pattern. Oh, but I read my Bible every Saturday for 1 hour. How many hours do you watch TV every day? Just an hour. So that's 6 hours. So you're supposed to read the Bible 7 hours. What? 7 hours of Bible reading? Yeah. The Lord said you cannot love two masters. You're going to love one, hate the other. You're going to be devoted to one and neglect the other. So these are flesh pattern behavior that you have to fight against. we are also against the devil who is scheming to fill up our minds with thoughts that are opposed to the words of God. Well, this is a harsh sermon, man. No, it's not. In addition to previous thoughts that formed mental strongholds, we have the present day responsibility to manage our thoughts. We're supposed to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Listen to this. Brother, give me 2 Corinthians 3:4. Well, did I have the wrong scripture? And we have such trust through Christ towards God. Yes, I do have the wrong scripture. What is the matter with me today? I got excited about it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so which means that your mind and my mind can be corrupted. Isn't that right? This is why you and I have to bring every high thought into captivity. Say amen. This is why we have to subdue our thoughts. You're in church right now, the preacher's talking about thoughts, and your thought is all the way in Washington, D.C. 2 Corinthians 2:11 tells us that we should not be ignorant of Satan's scheme. Isn't that right? Least Satan should take, well, no, Satan can take advantage of God's people. Wow, how? We are not ignorant of his devices. How? Satan will be able to cause you and I to think that some brilliant idea we had is ours. Well, you mean to say that Christian cannot be have brilliant idea? We're supposed to be the one that have brilliant idea. The problem is when we have a brilliant idea that is opposed or against the word of God, that's when you know that Satan is trying to trick you into thinking contrary to the word of God. I'm going to give you another example here. This one here is a little crazy. Brother David, can you put up there 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1. Watch this. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1. What does it say? That's a thing that's not only from the New Testament. It happened on the Old Testament. Satan stood up against Israel and moved David. What anything has to do with anything? David was the leader of Israel. Satan can stood up against the United States by using a leader. Now, don't get any idea. Let me see what the New Living Translation say. Satan rose up against Israel and... So what is the big deal? Well, David has been given peace from all his enemies around. And then he had a clever idea. You know what? I have no idea how many soldiers I have. you know what, I'm going to count them. Don't do that. Joab said, Joab was his general. My Lord, your God has given you peace from all sides. All your enemies are subdued to you. Why would you do such a crazy stuff? No, go count. I want to know how many soldiers I have. What was the problem? Satan jumped into his thinking. What is the problem here? You won all his battles and all his enemy around him without knowing how many soldiers he had. Isn't that right? So why now you want to know it? Because then you can be proud. And you know what caused Satan to be kicked out from heaven? Pride. Are you following me here? This is the reason why you and I have to bring, to subdue our thoughts. Oh, I think I'm going to have a heart attack. Baloney. Are you with me here?
Yes.
Baloney. But I'm not feeling good. Then you say, spirit of sickness, get out. Go look for another body. Not here. How do I fight this preacher? You may be asking right now. I'm coming to a close. Brother Dave, could you put up there Philippians 4:8? How do you fight that stubborn thought that will not stay in church? How do you fight that stubborn thought that you're reading the Word of God and it is thinking about the beach that you're going to go with in a week? Read it with me. Finally, brethren, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, this is how you fight wandering mind. Preacher, this new chick came to work in my office. She's gorgeous. And I'll tell you this, hell is even more gorgeous. What are you talking about? You're a married man. Yeah, but I'm not. I'm just saying she's gorgeous. That is imagination. The thought jumped in. Imagination started to work. And little do you know, a month from today, you're going to be going to bed in your mind with that person. Guess what? You already committed adultery. If Jesus would have come, you wouldn't go. That's not in the Bible. Yes, there is. Revelation 21:8 says that adulterers will not make. Oh, that's people that go to sleep with other people. No, it's not. Jesus said, if you look to a chick with a bad eye, and you covered that chick, you're dead. You already committed adultery. One time my brother said, nobody's going to go to heaven, brother. That's what he said. I said, I don't know about nobody. I'll make it. If the thought come, you're under my feet, Satan. Back off. And we try to move our thought to whatever is true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, anything that has a virtue, that's what is supposed to be filling our minds. Now listen to the New Living Translation of this Bible in this verse. Watch this. And now, dear brothers and sisters, sis, it's for you too. One final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worth of praise. Isn't that something? Now, the backslider translation has it in a crazy way, but I still want to show it to you. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you do best by filling your minds and meditating on things Got it? This is how we fight wandering mind. There's going to be days that you will have a persistent thought that just won't go away. So when that happens, there's two things you have to do. Satan, behind me. You are under my feet. And then you're going to recite 1 Corinthians 2:16 in a loud voice. 1 Corinthians 2:16. Is that how I overpower? Is that how I subdue bad thought? Yes. How? For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have. Say, I have the mind of Christ.
I have the mind of Christ.
Say it again.
I have the mind of Christ.
Now tell your neighbor, you have the mind of Christ. There's going to be days in your life that your thoughts is going to be messed up. Your thoughts are going to be willing to wander away. Shout in a loud voice, I have the mind of Christ. Back off. Are we together here? Your thoughts are so precious. Well, preacher, what if, you know, I hear what you say. I did it, but it keep coming back. Well, according to Romans 12:2, you're supposed to be renewing your mind on a daily basis. So if you have to say every day, I have the mind of Christ, say it. Because Romans 12:2 says that you and I, not supposed to be thinking like the world out there is thinking, but we're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't do what the world is doing out there. Don't agree with the world out there. Have an acquaintance that's supposed to have a dedication, but one of the family members is Hindu. And they're going to have the little Hindu temple that you never see me in that house. Plain and simple. Another one wants to get married and the family is Hindu, and they want to cook some food in the Hindu way. No, I'm not coming eating that food because it's sacrificed to idol. I'm not supposed to be in agreement with the world, but I'm supposed to be transformed by the renewing of
my mind.
You got it? So when that stuff comes in, you're going to say in a loud voice, I have the mind of Christ. Say with me, I have the mind of Christ.
I have the mind of Christ.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Father God, may your word find a place in our hearts. Help us to think about good things. Things that are pure, noble, of value, praiseworthy. Give us the ability, Lord, to subdue our thoughts, because you told us that we're supposed to bring into captivity every high thing and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Give us the wisdom to understand when the devil is trying to trick us into thinking that his thoughts is our thoughts. Give us the boldness to say no. To send him back to the pits of hell where he belongs. And give us the courage not to agree with what the world out there is doing. Because according to 1 John 5:18, the whole world lies on the devil. So help us, Lord, to be aware of his schemes and not allow him to trick us into thinking that his thoughts is really our thoughts. Have mercy on us, Lord. In the precious name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, preacher.